Welcome to Double Feature. My name is Angela, and I will be one of the co-hosts of the series.
My name is Cheryl, and I will be the other co-host.
All right, so Cheryl, what is Double Feature? What are we going to be here to do?
So this is a podcast about movies, and every week we will go see a current movie or a new release. And the following week, we will watch an older movie that is from that same genre. So, for example, this week, we watched Aquaman, and next week, we are going to watch...
the original.
Yes, the original Superman movie from 1978, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. So, today, we're going to be talking about Aquaman. So, full disclosure, this is my first time watching Aquaman, but...
Yes, this is my second time watching Aquaman because I love the cheese and it's amazing.
Okay. So, should we just jump right into it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. What did you think of the movie overall?
Okay, so first time watching, I actually, we talked about this a little bit already, but I thought I liked it a lot, but then I realized there were a lot of little bits and pieces of it that were just kind of confusing or a little bit weird, I'll say. But overall, very enjoyable experience, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Very enjoyable. There's a lot of cheese. There is so much cheese. There's a lot of parts that I'm just like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
But overall, pretty good. Pretty decent. Yeah. Not as bad as what people say, what people have said about it. But I don't think it's also, like, the best movie. But, yeah. That's my general thoughts.
Yeah.
How about you?
I loved it. I definitely agree that there are, like... lots of moments that are like, what the heck? Very cheesy overall. But that's kind of what I love about DC movies, or the ones that are good. They definitely like lean into the cheese and are not afraid of it. So, yeah. And I think that provides a really nice balance with Marvel movies, which tend to be extremely self-aware. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in general, I really liked it. Okay, so what did you think about the title character and Jason Momoa as said title character?
Okay, so, oh god, I feel like this is going to be controversial. Yeah. So, hot take. Mm-hmm. After thinking about it for about, like, 2 days, mm-hmm. I realize even though I love Jason Momoa, he has, like, this is completely honest, people are probably going to hate me if I say this, but I feel like Jason Momoa has no charisma. I think Jason Momoa as Jason Momoa has a lot of charisma, but when he's Aquaman, especially in this movie, I feel like there's just so much other stuff going on that he can't be, like, fully himself. The only part that I thought he was, like, really himself was when he was, like, drinking at that pub with his dad, and he was, like, trying to be goofy or, like, funny or whatever with those other bar people who wanted to get a selfie with him. Mm-hmm. That part, I was like, okay, he's actually very funny, charismatic, but I feel like when he's, like, trudging through the desert or, like, underwater, really grumpy, having to, like, face off against Orm, his half-brother, I feel like it's just, he's just angry and just like, I'm not feeling it. But he's very attractive.
Okay.
Just, yeah.
Yes.
He's attractive, charismatic usually, but
yeah.
Somehow it just doesn't always show through for me in this movie.
Okay. I disagree with you completely. Respectfully disagree. But yeah, no, I really love Jason Momoa as Aquaman. I think that his comedic timing is actually really good, surprisingly good. And I think that while he does have some like awkward moments, I think a lot of his funnier lines really come across well, like especially when he's like talking to Orm before they go into the Ring of Fire, and he's like, I really like wanted to get to know my younger brother, but like, I didn't know he was gonna turn out to be such a dick.
That's pretty funny.
Line. But yeah, and I also think that he like does the sincere moments really well. Mm. So like when he's talking to Mira about like all of his problems and like anger issues and like how he doesn't really have like the ability to be subtle and fix like really complex problems, and he just kind of solves things by like, being angry. I thought that was actually, like, very insightful and really interesting to point out. I mean, I think that he does, like, both sides really well. Like, I think he does the sincere parts really well and, like, the cheesier, funnier parts really well. But Amber Heard, as I think about this movie more, I think I might like her a little bit less than I did originally. I just kind of feel like she's a little bit too serious and doesn't really play up the funniness as much as, like, the rest. Like, I feel like the rest of the movie is very, like, funny and lighthearted and, like, sometimes sincere, but I feel like she's just all sincerity and, like, all kind of, like, these are, like, real issues that we need to deal with. And it's kind of like, okay, lighten up a little bit.
Yeah. I agree on that. Like, I really did like her straight out of the movie, but I think, like, also having 2 extra days to think about it, I don't know. I think she is a bit too serious. Like, nobody's really playing it as, like, winky-winky in the movie anyways.
Yeah.
But I feel like she's the one that's making it the most serious. There's a place for that in this movie, but I agree. She is being a little too serious. But I kind of like her character. Originally, I didn't like the two of them together as much because I think the pairing is weird.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think the pairing is so weird.
Yeah.
But I like them a little better now because I think they kind of balance each other out, especially if Aquaman is a little bit more, like, bro-y, funny, and she's the one that's a little bit more serious. They bring out different parts of each other, and I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think also that there are definitely moments in the movie. I just feel like the screenplay doesn't really help them have more chemistry, you know? Like, there are some times that, oh, wow, that line was just bad. Like, why? Why was this written? Or, like the smoldering looks at each other.
I can't handle those. Those are awful.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of love them. But, like, yeah. They are, like, harder to buy into, I feel like. Especially that moment where Orm is, she's my betrothed.
And then,
yeah. And Arthur and Mira look at each other and are like, what? Moments like that in the screenplay just, like, don't really bring out the chemistry that might have been there otherwise, you know? Like, I think it's just a little bit too much, but...
Have you seen Amber Heard in other movies? Like,
I'm not
wondering if she's like this all the time. Is it something to do with her acting or if it's just like the scream? I don't know.
Yeah.
I also haven't seen her in that many things, so.
Yeah, I think this is the first movie I've ever seen with Amber Heard in it.
I can't even think of, what else has she been in?
I can't even.
Yeah. So let's move on to, like, some of the secondary characters. You brought up Yahya Abdul-Mateen.
The second.
As Black Manta.
He was so bad. I thought, like, I looked him up, and he apparently went to Berkeley and then Yale Drama.
That's, Yale Drama.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's really not good. He's, like, not good.
I wonder if he's been in a lot of other things, or if this is, like, his first film.
Right.
Give me a second while I look this up.
Well... Yeah, I just think that he wasn't, I don't know if it was him overacting or if, like, he just wasn't good for the role, but he just wasn't good. I also think that Manta in general was kind of out of place in this movie, so I really don't know if it's just the character or if it's him or, like, if it's the writing, but I didn't like him in this movie. What did you think?
I feel like I have similar feelings about him. I didn't really notice his terrible acting until you pointed it out. And then I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, he's very bad.
Yeah.
But I also think his role in this movie, I don't really understand it.
Yeah.
Because it really feels like, well, in the very beginning of the scene, or of the movie, he gets his butt whipped so terribly. Mm-hmm. And then he comes in as, like, the big bad villain, second in command, basically, to Orm.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I don't understand, like, why he's such a big deal if he literally, like, could have, like, Aquaman could have beat him in, like, the opening scene of the movie. Like, I don't understand. But he's fine. I hope he doesn't show up again, because he didn't die at the end, right?
No, he was in the end credits scene
with
Dr. Shin.
Right. So I think there's the possibility that he could make another comeback, and I don't know if I'm excited or if I'm just like, okay, well, this is just the way it is. Like, just gotta accept it as it is.
I really don't want to see him in the next movie either. And I think that it's kind of weird, first of all, that he was in this movie, but also that they made Orm the main villain and not Manta. Because I feel like Aquaman, or the first Aquaman movie, could have been, like, a very small-scale thing just with Manta and, like, you know, Arthur trying to figure out, like, do I even want to be, like, someone who is responsible for, like, other people's lives? And then maybe, like, in the second or third Aquaman movie, you could have Orm, like, trying to take over the world, all that stuff. But this movie, like, kind of focuses on, like, much more on Orm. And then Manta's just kind of, like, a side character, which is really weird because, like, in the comics, Manta's a major villain for Aquaman. And I think he might be, like, the major villain for Aquaman. I just think it's weird.
It kind of reminds me of, like, Spider-Man, like, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, when they just had a ton of villains that they just, like, threw in there.
Yeah.
So I think I like your idea. I think they should have just kept Black Manta as, like, the main villain and then build up to something, maybe Orm taking over everything in the second movie.
Yeah.
But I also, just, like, from a meta standpoint, I do think that they were really afraid that this movie wasn't gonna do well. And they wouldn't be able to get to make another one.
Yeah.
So they were like, we gotta cram it all in there.
Yeah.
It's just gotta happen.
Well, thank God for China.
I know.
Because...
Okay, I looked this up. This movie made a ton of money.
Yes.
Last time I checked, it was around $500 million or something like that.
Just domestically?
No.
Well, because I know it hit a billion.
Did it?
Yeah, it hit a billion.
Like, in...
Total.
Total.
Yeah, okay. Total.
Then I'm not actually sure.
Yeah, and I think it did make most of its money in China, like, not domestically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so I think we should go into this as, like, a side tangent thing.
Okay.
Because I am weirdly obsessed with this fact. There's a secondary character that I'm sure, like, 99% of the people don't care about.
Yes.
He's Captain Merc, apparently. If you don't remember him, he's the guy who was in one of those red suits and had to, like, drink toilet water to survive at the end. I don't really know how to describe him. But basically, the guy who plays him, his name is Ludin Lin. He's Chinese. He's, like, a Chinese... He's, like, a big Chinese star in China. Right before the screening, like, on the red carpet, he was like, oh, I'm so glad that people are coming to see this movie just for me. Like, I'm so excited to show them, like, what's happening in this movie, and I'm so glad they're here to support me. And then you watch the movie, and he's in it for, like, 5 minutes, barely.
Yeah.
And he ends with his face in a literal toilet bowl. And I don't understand why he was building up his character so much. I thought it had a huge role. But yeah, so that was...
Yeah.
I don't understand.
That's crazy. Yeah, there are so many, like, weird things, like, random things in this movie. Like, the Russians. So, at the beginning of this movie, there's a scene where Black Manta is trying to commandeer a submarine or something.
Yeah. He's also, like, a high-tech pirate. Like, I forgot to mention this. But I think, we need to mention that. That's just weird. Anyways, the Russians.
Yes. So, this submarine is a Russian submarine. And Aquaman, like, goes and, you know, saves all the people on the submarine. And so the Russian sailors that are on this submarine are portrayed as the good guys, which is very interesting because, like...
Given this,
you know,
political climate.
Yes. Given everything.
Yeah.
This is really weird. So I think that was probably another thing that made it appeal to China, or, like, made it appeal to at least the Chinese government, if not the Chinese public.
It's so weird to me. I don't understand why they did that either.
Yeah.
But, like, that was the first thing that just stood out in my mind. Like, that's one of the confusing points. Like, it didn't really detract from the story for me, but I was just like, this is such an odd choice. Why did they do this? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they chose to do that. I don't know. Maybe the Russians should be the good guys for once.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Should we move on to the next?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in terms of the plot... So Orm is trying to destroy the surface, or he's trying to unite the water and the land.
Okay.
I think first reaction, I don't understand. Second reaction, I feel like this is strangely been kind of the plot for several movies that I can remember recently. Mm-hmm. The
like
one
what?
That... sticks out to me is Fantastic Beasts 2, where he's like, we want to unite the Muggle world with, like, the wizarding world or whatever, and he's like, but we're still gonna rule over them. So I feel like that's kind of the general thing, and I don't know if this is a trend, but
it's something that I'm noticing.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I think his goal was just to, like, kill everyone.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just because, like, if the ocean just, like, covered the whole planet, then no one would survive. But, and I think that was what his point was.
Okay.
But I'm not really sure. Or maybe it was just to, like, go to the surface and conquer them.
See, that makes, I mean, both of those make sense to me. It's just that they also said in, like, Mira says this, like, kind of casually, but it's, like, only the Highborns can breathe air.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just, like, if you want to conquer it, would you have to basically, like, Noah's Ark the whole thing and make everything underwater so then your minions can breathe? Yeah. Or, like, I mean, is it only going to be high-born people on land? So,
yeah. Yeah, just a very confusing plot overall.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, and there's also just, like, so much, like, random, like, political intricacy to this plot. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, like, the other kingdom, like, Zebul or whatever.
Is that the fish people?
No. That's, like, Mira's dad.
Isn't there, like, another one?
The fish people.
The one that look like they're catfish.
Yes. Yeah, there's that. I mean, there's, like, so much mythology, which I think is actually really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that it is a lot for one movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, all of the political stuff, like, Orm, like, paying Manta to hijack a submarine so that he can attack this meeting of the kings so that Mira's dad can, like, you know, ally himself with Orm. But then Mira's dad says later, like, I want to go to war with the surface world. So, like, why did any of that earlier stuff need to happen? Like, I don't know. It's just so confusing. And it's a lot. Like, it's just, like, I feel like it's such a large-scale movie, especially for, like, the first movie in a potential trilogy of movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this maybe should have been, like, the last one, because I just don't know, like, where they're gonna go from here. Like, how are they gonna make it bigger and better? Yeah, and I just don't think that they can do that with if they're going to have Manta as their next villain.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, I don't really know a lot of the mythology or backstory to Aquaman, but I do feel like they've kind of taken, like, the route that... they've taken kind of the route that movies usually take in the second movie, where it's, like, the first movie is about just some not quite so personal villain, and then the second movie builds on that and then maybe drags in someone from the family to make that the villain. So yeah, like you said, I think Orm probably should have been in the second movie, and it's just by cramming all of this into one movie, it just feels so packed, crowded, and I feel like none of the characters were really allowed to develop. Like, I still can't really tell you what Mira's personality is like, because she's serious, she's very loyal, she's got duty to her kingdom, that's about it, that's all I know.
No, and I think I've been very negative towards this movie in this, in this review, but I actually really like it.
Oh, yeah. So, like... No, I also enjoy this movie quite a bit.
Yeah,
I think it's just... It's, like, it's enjoyable, but it's, like, it's kind of in that way where you're, like, this is quite dumb, but quite enjoyable.
Yeah. No, so. I think that it's just a lot of fun, but, like, when you sit here and, like, pick it apart... Like, all of the separate elements that, like, make it fun are kind of confusing and a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Which is kind of unfortunate. Like, what else are you going to talk about in a movie review? But you kind of, I don't know, that kind of takes away from, like, the overall, like, joy of it. Like, I don't know. Joy is not a good word.
I think that's an appropriate
word. Yeah. Just, like, the overall, like, fun experience of it is kind of taken apart or like taken away when you like go into the details. So, but yeah,
speaking of something that's let's actually move on to some more praiseworthy things about this movie.
Yeah,
so we've picked this movie apart, but there's one thing that I don't think most people can pick apart, which is the special effects.
So good.
Beautiful. Yes. Absolutely beautiful. I'll say my favorite portion, well, all of the underwater scenes were really, really beautiful, but the part that I liked the most was when Aquaman and Mira are going down to the trench, and he's, like, lighting those red flare sticks things. I didn't even know they could actually light underwater.
But yeah, that's a I don't different think they issue. Can. Whatever.
Okay, whatever. Whatever. Another example. But, like, where he's, like, lighting the flare stick, and you just see him going deeper and deeper down, and, like, all the little trench beings are, like, swarming around him. I'm just... It's so beautiful.
That was gorgeous. Oh, my God. Yeah, I thought, like, everybody who worked on special effects on this movie was, like, did an amazing job. I loved that scene. I also loved, like, anytime they were underwater and their hair was, like, flowing. I know this is kind of, like, ridiculous, but, like, honestly, it looked so good. It looked so good.
Not just the hair itself. For me, it was, like, all of the little fabric underwater. Like, you see the way it, like, flows. It's, like, very, I don't know. It's kind of like the wind softly blowing through the fabric, but it's just so much more. I love it.
Right, right. Yeah, it was so good. I also really liked the Atlantean soldiers. I thought they, like, so the first time I saw this movie, it was in a really crappy theater, and I thought the special effects looked awful.
Oh.
And then then I, like, watched a bunch of reviews, and everyone was raving about it. And in particular, the first time that I saw it, the Atlantean soldiers, like, looked really awful. And then the second time, I watched it in a much better theater, and they looked amazing. And I thought, like, their suits were really cool. I really liked just, I don't know, like, their weapons. I thought their weapons looked really cool. I also really liked the, there was one scene in Sicily or, like, in Italy or whatever. In that town where Mira and Aquaman go to like, figure out the clues to lead to the Trident. And, like, all of these Atlantean soldiers are attacking them. Mira, like, uses all of the wine in the wine bottles to, like, spirit. Oh, my God. That was so cool.
That was so cool.
Yeah, I loved that.
I just loved all of that whole, like, Italy scene. It was just so beautiful. Like, it was so beautiful.
It was.
But what was I going to say? Oh, oops. I'm trying to think. Oh, it's something about Mira. Oh, I really like the part. Okay, just to bring it back to Mira, just one other time.
Yeah.
But I really like the fact that she's kind of a little bit of a play on the Little Mermaid.
Yes.
I thought that was really cute because she's got, you know, the red hair. She's got the greenish blue, like, jumpsuit that kind of reminds you of Ariel's tail. And then I also noticed when she's in her very fancy, like, formal getup, the one with the little jellyfish on the back, that one also reminded me more of her, like, wedding gown or, like, the scene where she's, like, on land in human form.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cute. And, like, the scene in Italy where she, like, sees a bunch of people eating and then she gets the flowers and she eats the flowers.
Yes.
I was like, that's so cute. Like, that's so innocent. That's
totally
a Little Mermaid thing where she, like, she's very confused about everything.
Right.
Uses the fork as, like, a hairbrush.
Yes.
Like, that kind of thing.
I
thought it was very adorable.
Yeah, that was really, really adorable. I also loved that Arthur, like, didn't correct her and just took the flower and started eating it, too.
I think that is really telling.
Yeah.
I wish they played more into that, where he is just this weird, casual, chill dude who's just like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
He's like a biker or like a chill, like, hippie kind of
dude.
Yeah. They're an interesting mix.
Yeah, no, I loved that. That whole Italy scene was so good. The action in it was amazing. I thought, like, the character, like, at least the little bit of character building that they did was really good as well. And I also, like, just the action in general in this movie, I thought was really, really cool. Like, the camera work that they used was awesome. So especially in that first scene with Nicole Kidman, when I first saw it, I was, like, kind of taken aback by how different it was.
Yeah.
Just because the camera, like, moves so much, like, when the people are fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And the perspective, like changes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually really, really good. It was, like, jarring at first, but then it's like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what did you think?
I also thought the action scenes were really well done. I think especially the cinematography in this movie is just amazing.
Yeah.
But like you said, the Nicole Kidman scene at the very, very beginning, I also was just very confused for a second. I was like, oh, so this is the way they're going to take this, like, yeah. the action scenes, which I think I liked, because I think it's got a very distinct style. You really see the way James Wan is directing, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Because you don't see this kind of camera work in things like Man of Steel, right. or the Batman movies, or even like Suicide Squad. I feel like this one had a very distinct look to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's partly due to the special effects, but also partly due to just his camera work in general. So,
yeah. Right, right.
Very great. Yeah.
So I really liked, oh wait, oh my God, this is so random. But did you know that Julie Andrews was the voice of the Carathan or whatever? Like the monster that he goes to fight at the very end?
Julie Andrews?
Yes, Julie Andrews. Yes, the original Mary Poppins.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wait.
Yeah.
That's so strange.
I know. It's crazy. But I thought she did such a good job.
I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that was just like a side note. But yeah, I thought like everything with Arthur and Orm at the end was awesome. Like, I really, really liked that scene.
Same with me. I really liked their, like, battle scene at the very end. I do have a few things to nitpick, though. Mm-hmm. So, for one, I thought it was kind of strange that Orm had such a drastic plan and still kind of, it looks like he's on the track to getting like kind of some kind of redemption arc, and I don't know if I like that, because his plan was to kill people, and he really killed several, like, tons of people. He killed tons of people. Yeah. Like, he killed the Fish Kingdom's, like, king.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't join his side. He just pierced him with the trident, like, while his daughter was there. Like, he's actually a horrible person.
Yeah.
But they kind of, I think they were really trying to push him onto the redemption kind of side, because at the end, well, he doesn't die for one, and Nicole Kidman, the mom, is just like, oh, I love both of my sons, and I'm just like, well, one of them's kind of great, the other one killed people, so I don't quite understand it. Like, I like the whole family dynamics to it, but at the end where he's just like, I don't remember exactly what he says, but Aquaman's like, you can go or something, and then we'll talk about it or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm just
what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like, are they going to join sides? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I haven't read very many comics, but I have read Geoff Johns's Aquaman run.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, Orm and Arthur have a very, like, complicated relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're family, and, like, Orm is insane, but, like, also their family, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
so. You see a lot of that in this movie.
Yeah. So, I think that, like, maybe Orm, like, I don't really know how I feel about a redemption arc, and I do think that it is, like, too soon to tell whether or not, like, that's how they're gonna go with the next movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, I think that would be kind of weird if, like, I don't know. Marvel did it pretty well with Loki. Like,
I mean, so we love Loki, but, like, I think we as a population, as a human race, are too quick to, like, kind of paste over this. Yeah. I mean, okay, this is, like, completely off track, but I read a lot of Japanese comics, so okay. manga, and yeah, one of the biggest ones is Dragon Ball.
Okay.
And in Dragon Ball, sorry, basically every single villain they confront ultimately becomes, like, an ally, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's not just like, oh, he was terrible, like he had a plan. It's like he full-on murdered many people.
Yeah.
So I think there's a difference between that and just like having like evil plans.
Yeah.
But I think Orm, we'll see how this goes. Like, this is the first movie after all, so he could definitely make a comeback.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. And I think that it's really interesting that of all of the iconic characters that DC Comics has, Aquaman and Wonder Woman are the two, like, like, weird. Pillars of the DCEU right now.
And, like, okay, the Shazam movie looks pretty decent so far from what we've seen from the trailers. Mm-hmm. So it'd be so weird if those three are, like, the big ones, like, the big heroes.
Yeah.
And Batman, Superman, all of them are just on the sides. Even Flash, I think, is kind of just left on the side. So very interesting,
Yeah. No, I think it's crazy. Actually, I'm not going to start talking about Shazam. Let's just end here.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you for joining us for our first podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Join us next week for our take on Superman and, well, I guess, like, the superhero genre and how it's evolved since the late 70s.